This is Why I Settled in Tasmania.
Life stories about people from refugee backgrounds living and building a new life in Tasmania.
Here on Hobart FM.
Why I Settled in Tasmania.
This program is produced with the assistance of the Community Broadcasting Foundation, CBF.
Welcome to Why I Settled in Tasmania. I am Sonia Parra. Today, we will be with Potu from the Karen community in Hobart, Tasmania.
Hello, my name is Potu. I come from Burma. I have been in Tasmania about 7 years. I'm from Burma, but before I came to Australia, I lived in a refugee camp for 13 years. Because in my country, there are fighting until now all the time. And then we became like displaced people.
Yes.
Along the borderline, there are fighting all the time. So we, you know, just crossed the borderline to Thailand. We became a refugee. There are many refugee camps along the borderline. Yeah, actually, we are from Burma, but we are not Burmese people.
Uh-huh.
We also have our own language. There are many dialects in Burma. People speak different languages, but the official language is Burmese language.
Yes.
Yeah, but not everyone can speak Burmese in my community.
Yes.
So our language is called Karen, Karen language.
Karen, that is the name of your ethnic group.
Yes.
Why you are not considering Burmese if you come from there?
Actually, we have a problem with the government. You know, government even do not recognize us. So most Karen people live in the bush, then, where there is close to borderline in Thailand.
Yes.
Yes. There is always fighting, you know, between the government troop and then Karen soldier, Karen troop as well.
Yes.
Yeah. So, as we are the villagers, people who live along the borderline.
Yes.
We are the one who got a problem with the. I mean, whenever they got fight, you know, some houses, some villages. Are bent down, and then you know you just run for your life, actually.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why we crossed the borderline to Thailand. We became a refugee, and then while we lived in a refugee camp, we always think about going back to Burma. One day we hope that you know we have chance to go back Burma. There will be peace in our country.
Yeah. You know,
everybody missed our main our country, village, yes. You know, where we came from. But we didn't have chance, you know, go back to Burma.
For how long had been happening this situation in Burma or with the current community?
Yeah, there is fighting, I think, a long time ago until we became a refugee.
Yes.
We had to live in a refugee camp. But
yes.
Yeah. So there is chance for us after 10 years, you know, because we were registered by UNHCR.
Yes.
So UNHCR opened the way, you know, like opportunity for
yes.
us that if someone want to go to another country, you can go, you can apply, for example, like a USA, Australia, England, Norway, Sweden. So some people just feel like hopeless.
Yes.
We've been in a refugee camp about 13 years. Maybe we have to wait another 10 years. There will be chance or not, we are not sure. So most families who have children think about their children's future.
Yes.
So that is why some families decided, okay, we better go to another country for our children's future. Because even we live in the camp more than 10 years, nothing happened.
Yes.
We don't know we have to live another 10 years or 20 years in the camp.
Yes.
So everybody decided, you know, not everybody, I mean most people who have a family, children, they said, okay, we better go to another country for our children's So some people just applying to go to USA, Australia, UK, you know. But some people stay confused whether they go to another country or whether stay in the camp, whether go back to Burma. So with the confusion, they just live in the camp.
Where you was living?
In Burma.
Yes.
Yeah. Most Karen people live in the bushland, I mean, along the borderline between Thai and Burma borderline.
But not in the refugees camp.
Not in the refugee camp.
But the government recognize this area as the Karen people, or is like are they illegal to live in these bushes?
Yeah, actually, we are not recognized by the Burmese government.
Yes.
So that's why we don't have, like we are not a citizen of, even we were born in Burma, we are not the citizen of...
Why not? Why? What is the reason that the Burmese government don't recognize you?
We live in the bushland, and then because always fighting there with a Karen soldier, because there is a Karen army group as well.
Okay.
Where we live.
Yes.
We are the people who support Karen army.
Yes.
So, actually, when there is fighting, we are the one suffer a lot between their problem.
The Karen, who originally came from the region of Mongolia many centuries ago, are a large ethnic group or nationality within the country of Burma. After the Second World War finished and Burma was granted independence from the British Empire in 1948, the situation and rights for all ethnic minorities in Burma deteriorated. Years later, the Karen had become the largest of 20 minority groups participating in an insurgency against the military dictatorship in Yangon. During the 1980s, the Karen National Liberation Army, the KNLA, fighting force numbered approximately 20,000. Since then, during the insurgency, hundreds of thousands of Karen fled to refugee camps, while many others were internally displaced persons within the Karen state. The refugees were concentrated in camps along the Thailand-Myanmar border.
Why I Settled in Tasmania.
You are listening to Hobart FM and the life stories of people who are building a new life in Tasmania.
Here on Hobart FM.
Why the government don't recognize the Karen people?
Not
what do
only,
you think that is the main reason?
Not only Karen people. There are many dialects, that have problems with the Burmese government.
Yes.
Yes. So, other state, other dialect, where they live also,
Yes.
Fighting happen all the time.
The Karen group is one of the biggest ethnic groups in Burma?
No, not all, the biggest one, I think. There are like a Shan ethnic group also. They live in the Shan state, a bigger one as well, bigger community as well.
Okay. Yeah. Do you have any idea how many people are in the refugees camps now, the current people?
Yeah, I'm not sure, but in my camp that I lived before,
yes,
I think about 18,000.
18,000,
19,000.
Yes.
Just one camp.
And still in the bush line. Karen people living not in the refugees camp, in the bushes.
Yes, some people are in the still live in the bushes. Still keep moving different places. When there is fighting, they just move another place where there is no fighting. Just keep move along. But people who live very close to borderline, they will cross the borderline. Get into
with Thailand.
Yes.
But in Thailand also, you are not recognized for the Thailand government.
No. We cannot, apply to become citizen like in Australia. Australia, you after 4 years you live here.
Yes.
You want to become a citizen.
Yes.
So you can apply. But yes. Not in Thailand. Even you, some refugee camp, I think, live in the camp 20 years.
Yes.
Yeah, 20 years, they don't become Thai citizens. They are just recognized by, you know, refugee from Burma.
How was your life in the bushes?
Actually, I grew up in the village, but I don't stay with my parents much. I had to attend the school in Burma, like a government school.
Yes.
Yes, my parents sent me to the place where there is close to the city and town, you know, because some of my relatives are living there.
Yes.
Yeah. So when they live there, I just stay with them and attend the school. That's why I can speak Burmese and then Korean language both.
Ah, so you speak Burmese?
Yeah, most people who go to government school, they can speak Burmese language. Like I said before, some people never go to school. They just speak their language, even they live in Burma, Korean language. Because some people are surprised there, why you live in Burma, you don't speak Burmese? Because they never go
to the
city
school
and town and to the Burmese, I mean, never go to school, so they will speak just their language.
Ah, okay. Can you explain a little bit more about your time in the school?
Actually, you know, I went to the government school, but the village is most people are Korean people. We attend the school, government school, we just learn Burmese language, not our language. Like Burmese language and English.
Okay.
We never learn our language in the government school.
Yes.
Only from, maybe from community, from, you know, yeah.
Do you speak Korean with your parents?
Yes, at home we speak our language, but like I said, we can speak Burmese as well, because in a government school, you speak. I think it's similar to Australia, you just speak English in the school.
Yes, yeah. And Korean at home.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. And you had good friends and good memories in your childhood, even in this hard situation, in the village or in the bushes?
I think, yeah, I had a good time, you know, when I was in Burma, when I went to school. But probably I'm not happy about, you know, because I have to live far away from my parents to go to school.
Yeah.
Because in my parents live, no school. There is school. It's like you can learn a little bit, you know, if you want to go high school, college, and you know, you better go, you know, far away from your parents. Like people live in the bush, and if they want to study like a little bit higher, they have to go where there is college and, you know, to the city. I mean, they need to attend the school.
And how far was your school from your parents' home?
Oh, very far, far away. I had to travel 2 days, 3 days just walking.
Walking?
Yeah.
Oh.
Only school holidays. I had chance to meet with my parents, to see with my parents every 2 years.
Every 2 years?
Yes. It's a long time.
Oh.
Because I had to travel just walking, you know, by foot. I mean, there is no transportation like car and anything like that. Walk
3 days?
Yeah, 3 days to see my parent.
Oh.
Because sometimes my auntie is busy, so she couldn't take me every 1 year to see my parent. That's why I had a chance only every 2 years to see my parents.
It must be hard for you.
Yeah.
How old was you in that time when you went to the school first time?
The first time was when I lived with my grandmother, actually, the first time. When I in, like, a grade one. When I was in grade two, I moved different places, you know. I moved to my auntie's town to stay with them and, you know, to go to the school, yeah.
Very young girl?
Yeah, 6 years old, if you go to grade prep or grade one, yeah, six or seven, yeah, very young. But I had a great time with my grandmother, because I'm the youngest one, I'm the only one live with her, because also with my auntie and my uncle, I'm her favorite. But when I live with my auntie has big family,
yes,
many children. I was not happy in the beginning because it's confusing and then, you know, not a very good experience as a child, you know.
Yes, of course.
Suddenly you move to another place, you know, where there is big family and people are not care you.
This is Potu from the Karen community in Hobart, Tasmania.
And you still have relationship with these cousins?
Yeah, they are in Burma. But people who live in Burma is, you know, they are recognized by Burmese government, people who go to government school. So they are citizens.
So they are now citizens.
Yes, but people who live in the bushland, where there is close to Karen army, we are not recognized by any Burmese government. They think we are people who support the Karen army.
But so how they know if you support or not the Karen
army?
They
don't know, but they just, you know, say that. Actually, they don't know. They just, you know, they just say that, you know, but they don't actually know. Because some people, most people live in the bush. You just do, you know, like you just farmer and you do your work and you just want to live in peace.
Yes.
You don't want to do anything against the, you know, anything, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but when there is a fighting, we as villagers are the one who suffer a lot. You know,
yes.
We had to move another place and then, you know.
Can you tell me about your family?
Yeah, my parents are now in the camp, but they are on the process of coming to Australia.
Ah, okay. Yeah,
they already had like a medical check, everything. So everyone before we came to Australia or another country, we had to do medical check.
Yes.
If nothing wrong with our health, so the process will be like you have to wait for departure date. So my parents and my younger brother, they will come together.
Ah.
So now they are waiting for a departure date. So when the government sent a letter, say that, okay, this is the day you have to come to Australia, so they will come.
So you must be happy.
Yeah, but they will come to my sister who lives in Perth. Later, maybe they will come to me.
Is to call here?
No, it depends on them. When they are in Australia, where they want to live, it's their choice.
So how many brothers and sisters do you have?
I've got two brothers and three sisters. So we are six.
And how many of them are here in Australia?
Just two.
You and your sister?
Yes, Mupawa.
Mupawa. Yeah. And the others?
Another one is staying in... the other one is in Burma. The other one is married to a Singapore man. She is in Singapore. We are all over, everywhere. Yeah.
They are recognized there as citizens of the, each country?
I think this time, yeah, people now who live in bushland, you know, if they can get it to the government office, they can apply to become citizen now. Only one brother is in Burma.
But he's living in the city or he's still in the refugee camp?
In the village.
The village means the bushes.
Yes. This time, it's a lot easier compared when we were in Burma.
Yes.
You can travel easily, you know, even sometimes if you don't have identification like a...
ID.
Yeah, you can travel, you know, not very, you know...
Tensions?
Yeah.
Mm.
And then people who can go to the, I mean, government office also, they can apply to become citizen as well.
In Burma and in Thailand too?
No, not in Thailand, in Burma.
In Burma, yeah. Okay.
A little bit, I mean, more freedom now, yeah.
Ah, okay. And what your brother still is in the bushes?
My brother, actually, when we crossed the borderline, when we became, you know, refugee.
Yes.
He was not with us. He was in Thailand, in the city, in town. He walked somewhere.
Yes.
Even we couldn't contact with him. That is why he was not registered by UNHCR, so he is not refugee. He couldn't apply to come here as us because we became a refugee and then we were registered by UNHCR with the, you know.
Yes.
So one day when we had an opportunity, we can apply, but he couldn't. He cannot apply like us.
How was the life in the refugee camp?
In the beginning, very hard, you know, because we are people just, you know, recognize us like displaced people. And then, you know, because when we cross the borderline, we just cross illegally, not legally, because you're just afraid of frightened, you know, afraid of the war, and then you just run for your life.
And why did your parents take the decision to cross the border and go to the refugee camps?
Everybody make decision because you can hear there is bombing and gunshot and very close to you. You want to run as far as you can. At that time, everybody ran to the borderline. mm-hmm. where there is Thailand, you know, we want to be safe. We don't care if Thailand government allow us to enter the country or not. We just cross the border and we can, yeah. So everybody move to, the borderline. You just carry, you know, there's no transportation.
Yeah, just
need to climb the mountains, you know, up and down and cross the, you know. Even at night time we travel, to get into the Thailand, we had to cross, we had to walk, just walk.
Yes.
About 3 days.
To cross the border.
Night, yeah. We just want to run from the gunshot and bombing everywhere, you know.
3 days.
Yeah, 3 days.
Day and night, you said.
Yeah.
Daytime and nighttime.
Yeah. Because, you know, we don't want, at nighttime something happen, you know. We cannot wait. We couldn't wait until it's, you know. We just use like a torchlight and travel, you know.
That's really hard.
Yeah, really hard. So we just carry foods that we could.
Yes.
We couldn't carry much. Everyone, you know, had to carry something, you know.
Yes.
Some clothes and blankets, you know, foods, you know.
Are you the older or the younger?
Yeah.
The older?
Yeah.
So the other brothers and sisters were really, really young, no?
Yeah, yeah.
You are listening to
Why I Settled in Tasmania.
The living stories of people from refugee backgrounds who have settled in the Apple Isle.
Here on Hobart FM.
Northern Thailand has long been home to thousands of Burmese refugees who have fled ethnic fighting and their country's military government for temporary camps. As a result of having to flee from danger, the refugee camps just inside Thailand along the border with Burma were established in the mid-1980s. Numbers in these camps have ranged from 120,000 to 15,000, consisting mainly of Karen people. The Burma army offensives against ethnic people in the last 20 years have displaced over 600,000 people in eastern Burma. Despite talk of reforms and peace since 2012, 5 years later in 2017, as many as 400,000 are still displaced by fighting or human rights abuses. Many of these villagers now live in jungle shelters or makeshift camps. Another 120,000 people live in refugee camps along the Thai-Burma border. After Burma's political opening, more of these refugees are returning home. But many, such as ethnic Karen groups, say it's still not safe.
Life in the refugee camps. Around 400,000 Karen people are without housing and 128,000 are living in camps on the Thailand-Burma border. According to Amnesty International, 79% of refugees living in these camps are Karen ethnicity. Their lives are restricted in the camps because they usually cannot go out, and the Thai police might arrest them if they do. Employment for the Karen refugees is scarce and risky. Along the Thai-Burma border, 128,000 refugees remain in 9 camps, including at Mae Sot, the largest settlement established 30 years ago. Most of the inhabitants are from the neighbouring Karen state. They have fled the fighting and human rights abuse of a conflict lasting more than 4 decades.
What memory do you have from your homeland?
Yeah, actually, I like bushland, you know. I love living there. Until now, you know, I love bushwalking. And then, actually, I just want to live in the countryside, not in the city, not in the town. Yeah.
Mm.
When I first arrived here, people asked me, how do you think Hobart? Hobart is like a bit quiet, like a countryside or something like that. But for me, it's like a big city, me. Big, okay. Yeah. Compared where I came from.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Did you remember, for example, the day that you left the homeland, the house?
Almost everybody, you know, we couldn't carry anything. Just for foods and the blankets and then some clothes, you know, that we need to use.
And it was scared for you?
Yeah, very scared. Because everybody, you know, moved to, borderline, you know.
Yes.
Walked to borderline because we didn't. There will be, you know, a safe place for us.
How was when you arrived to the refugee camp?
It began very difficult, you know. We couldn't go out. They are like we are in a camp.
Yes.
Surrounded by fence.
Yes.
We are not allowed to go out, you know.
Ah, okay.
Very difficult time. I think about 3 years. Because we were in the camp, you had to listen everything to Thai authorities. Actually, I'm a bit lucky that, you know, I was a health worker, community health worker in the camp.
Yes.
Because there are some organizations in the camp, like NGO.
Yes.
And school and other clinic, and, you know, I had a job there. For other people, it was a hard time for them.
Yes.
Because you cannot go out. You know, that means you don't have income. You are, as a refugee, you are not allowed to go out and work, you know, and...
It's like at a jail.
Yeah, yes, almost like that. But for me, you know, I had some income because I work for NGOs.
Yes.
Because there are clinics and, you know, stay in the camp, I still have some income, I mean, you know, to survive.
Yes.
But not for other people. Very difficult. But we had some... One NGO provided us rice.
And yes.
Is it daily life, what we eat? Rice and like a salt and then chilies, something like that.
So the people can grow up the vegetables and things in the refugees camp? Or how can I provide the food?
Yeah, no vegetables. Just you can grow, you know. Even you don't have a big land in the refugee camp, you will see in the movie, you know, very small space.
Yes.
And then you can grow only some plants, not much. You don't have much land and space.
What is the best memory you had from the refugee camp?
Yeah, it was a hard time, like I said, about 3 years in refugee camp.
Yes.
Because at that time, we were not recognized by UNHCR. Just refugee, displaced people or something like that. After 3 years, we were registered by UNHCR.
Yes.
And then it's a bit more, we had more safety or something like that. I mean, the best time was when I can go outside the camp, you know.
Okay.
I can go to the bushland and then, you know, like a picnic, you know, in the bushland is the best time for me. Because the first 3 years was very tough. Even you go out illegally, they don't allow you to go out.
And what happened if you go there?
Catch you, even some people beaten by the military. The Thai authority, you know.
Ah.
You are not allowed to go out while you go out, you know. They got beaten by authorities.
Ah, okay.
So I support my family with my income.
Yeah. Ah, okay. When do you decide, or your family decide, apply to come to Australia?
It was a hard time as well, because my parents used to live with me in the camp about 13 years. they just depend on me, you know. When they get older, they don't want to, you know, be far away from me. But they also kind of like, oh, whether we go back to Burma or we are still waiting for democracy one day, you know, maybe we don't need to go to another country. So at that time, I think about my son. That's why I make decision, okay, I have to go for my son's future.
Okay.
But it was really sad to leave them there and you left them there.
You had the boyfriend and you married there
in the camp.
The people still have this kind of celebration in the refugee camp.
Yes, traditionally, you know, like a wrist tying or, you know, not very special because in the camp, you know, so people will do have a marriage a ceremony as traditionally, yeah.
Mm. So you met your husband in the refugee camp too?
No, actually, we know each other when we were in Burma.
But in the school or in the bushes?
Yeah, not in the school because I went to a government school. We just met in the village.
Yes.
We know each other, you know.
Yes.
Only we became like a girlfriend, boyfriend and married in the camp.
So he's coming to the camp, refugee camp.
Yeah, there are many villages, you know, along the borderline. So when they were fighting, everybody moved, you know. My son was 9 when we left my parents. It was hard time as well, you know.
Mm.
But they also understand me, you know, that they say, okay, you know, you should go for your son's future. Just leave us alone, you know. We will think about that maybe later, whether we go back to Burma. And then I have been here 7 years. There is no way to go back to Burma. They stay in the camp. So now they make decision that they should come to us.
Why I settled in Tasmania.
In a few seconds, we'll be with Putu from Karen community in Hobart, Tasmania.
Here on Hobart FM.
How was your journey to Australia?
Actually, we had, you know, the government will send a letter that, you know, we approve you to come here. And then the next step, maybe after a month, and then you will have a letter again from the government that this is the date that you have to go for medical check.
Yes.
In Thailand, but in the city. Where there is hospital run by Thai authorities.
Yes.
Not in the camp.
Yes.
So we had to go to the city
and
then had medical check everything. And then if nothing wrong with us, we just wait for, you know, departure date, get visa and everything, just waiting. When we got the departure date, we had to attend, it's kind of like a training, you know?
Yes.
How to get into the flight, what things you can carry, what things that you couldn't carry on the flight.
Yes.
And then a bit of like Australia culture. Australia, how is Australia?
Yes.
You know, we have to rent.
Yes.
Something like that, and about school, a little bit everything, you know.
Did you remember how was the last day that you was in the refugee camp?
We also happy and sad at the same time. We are happy that, you know, we will go to another country. Maybe we all will have some, you know, look for our good future for my son as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing was we had to leave our parents, both my husband and I, you know, parents, the other families member as well in the camp, and friends as well. They also we also had a transportation, like a big truck.
Yes.
Yeah, we'd come to the camp the day that we need to leave. Yeah, outside the camp.
Uh-huh, yes.
You just go there and then, you know, so all the family members and friends will just come and, you know, wave, and then some will cry, because it's sad. You don't know when you will see each other again, you know. That's why it's a bit sad, yeah. And then I think we had to travel one day, I think, to the city, and then we had to do medical check again. No, in Thailand.
Again?
Yeah, before we leave the country, before we go to Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Some are very unlucky, you know. When they had to do another medical check, maybe the health worker found something, maybe need to get treatment or something, they had to go back
to the refugee
to camp. And then they had treatment, you know. But we were lucky, you know. We had all the medical check done there and nothing wrong with our health. So we just, you know.
Oh.
But we had to stay in the, I mean, it's kind of like a building, you know.
Yes.
Where there are people need to go, you know, do medical check, or if we are nothing wrong with our health, we just there maybe about 5 days. And then after 5 days, you know, we get like a bus ticket and everything. They will arrange for the bus, the bigger bus, you know, from that city to Bangkok. Bangkok is the
capital
city. Yeah, Bangkok, to get the flight. Yeah. And then in Bangkok, you will see like a kind of like a case worker who will help you there, how to get, you know, into the flight.
Yes.
Everything. Because you don't know, you are just come out, you don't know where.
Yes, I suppose.
Then you never traveled by flight before, you know, because Bangkok airport is huge, you know, international airport. So that's why there is always someone there welcome us and then help us until we get into the flight.
How was the journey? How was the trip in the flight? And especially this the first time in your life that you are...
You couldn't even find your seat, where to sit, and then you don't know, you know. And then, but the, you know, the flight attendant will help you out. You have to sit here and then you have to put your bag there, something like that, yeah. Yeah, actually very excited and a bit scary as well, you know, because the first time on the flight and then you are going to another country, you know. But I'm lucky that I had some English, you know, if the flight, you know, it announced something, you know.
In that time you know a little bit English?
Yeah, yes.
And how do you know?
Because I work with the NGO. NGO are foreign people, they are from America, they are, you know, from UK. So when you work with them together, you can speak some English, you know.
So you was learning just listening then?
Yes.
How many Karen people or families came with you in the same flight?
The same flight, I think two or three families.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't come to the same state and the same city. Some are go to Sydney, some are to Melbourne. And the only family come to...
Tasmania.
Yeah, Tasmania, Hobart.
And why Tasmania, you know why?
Government make decision that you can come here, but we also have opportunity if you don't want to come to Hobart or Tasmania. We can say, oh no, I have some friends or family members who live in Perth or whatever.
Yes.
And then, but you still need to wait again.
Oh.
When you got departure date ready to go, if you say, okay, I don't want to go that place, I don't know anyone, I want to go Perth maybe, there are friends and family members there. So you had to wait again. I want to do that, and then I better go because Tasmania is Australia as well. I just go.
Okay.
Yeah. But some of my friends also, they just rang me, you know, they, oh, come to us.
You know, yeah, some friends. People here?
Tikila is my friend. Tikila and her husband, because we were the same camp.
Refugee camp?
Yeah.
Why I settled in Tasmania.
You are listening to Hobart FM and the life stories of people who are building a new life in Tasmania.
Here on Hobart FM.
The Burma Army offensive against ethnic people in the last 20 years have displaced over 600,000 people in eastern Burma. Despite talk of reforms and peace since 2012, 5 years later in 2017, as many as 400,000 are still displaced by fighting or human rights abuses. Many of these villagers now live in jungle shelters or makeshift camps. Another 120,000 people live in refugee camps along the Thai-Burma border.
Something special in the journey that you want to remind? Or
you know, because we had to catch two flights. Bangkok to Sydney. Sydney also a big one, a big airport, you know. Everything is new for us, you know. And then also you, before we get into the flight from Sydney.
Yeah, to Hobart?
Sydney to Hobart. Actually, when we first arrived in the Sydney airport, and then we had to fill out something like, what did you bring with you?
Yes.
Secret or Echo, yes, or whatever, you know. And then I had to help three families with their phone, you know. They couldn't read and write and what's going on, you know. And then when they, you know, because they cannot get in, they have to fill out that form.
Yeah.
What they bring with them and what they didn't bring with them. And then they have to hand it to them.
But you had any other person helping you there with that or no?
Yeah, no. I already filled out when I had, training before
before
training, yeah.
Ah, okay.
I already filled out my test. And then some people, they didn't, you know, fill out their form, so they had problem with entering to Australia, so I had to help them with the form. Yeah, a bit busy, I don't know, because you also confused, you know, when you come to the new place, the first place, the same time you also busy with other people, you know.
What special things from refugee camp do you bring with you in your journey?
In our journey, we just bring like our traditional clothes.
Okay.
Which, you know.
Yes.
That we can always look at and wear, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. Most people bring their current traditional clothes, yeah. But some are made by hands, weaving. But some are with a machine.
Okay.
But the one that made by, you know, weaving by person, costs a lot of money.
Yes.
It's a bit expensive than with a machine.
Yeah. How was when you arrived here to Tasmania? Someone was waiting for you, some friends?
Yeah, caseworker, and then Tikila's family. We have our friend, yeah, but no families here.
So it was happy for you to see someone?
Yeah, from our camp, yeah, because we were the same camp. One day, Tikila's family is the first family who arrived in Hobart.
Ah, really?
As Karen people, the first Karen family arrived in Hobart in 2008. And then I arrived in 2009. But after 2009 and 2010, Karen families are just, you know.
So it was good for you? You had the house in that time?
No, we had to live in the government house.
Yes.
Yeah, for a month.
Yes.
And then caseworker will look for accommodation for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was the first impact when you arrived to Hobart?
Like very cold. The weather is very cold. But when I arrived, you know, the weather is worse than now.
Yes. Because which month arrived you here?
February, yeah.
Oh, it was summer.
Summer, but I feel very cold for me because we just came from then, you know, the weather where it's warmer weather. Burma is warmer, and then also Thailand as well.
Yes. Yeah. How was your start to live here in Hobart, living in a different country, in a different life?
Yeah, looking for accommodation, because in the camp, even you are a refugee, you don't need to rent.
Yes.
You have a bamboo house. You just live in your bamboo house. You don't even know what is rent.
And how is the bamboo house?
Burma house is depend on, you know, people. Like rich people will build their house with the, you know,
bricks.
Timber, yeah, and then brick as well. People who couldn't afford will build their house with the bamboo, because you just cut the bamboo in the bush and then build your house. It's easy.
Well, also for the weather, no?
Yeah.
So it was one of the things you had to pay rent here and looking for accommodation.
Yeah. And then also everything is different because you had to pay the water bill, electricity bill, but in the camp, you don't have to pay the water bill.
Do you like to live here in Tasmania?
Because I have been here about 7 years. Yeah, I love Tasmania. It's kind of like, because I'm not easy to go to new, you know, I don't like new place.
Okay.
It's a big journey for me to move to Australia.
Okay.
And then again, I live in, Hobart. And if I make decision that I want to move to another places, it's
hard for you.
Hard for me, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because now Hobart is like my place.
Yes.
Yeah.
What do you decide to stay here in Tasmania?
Actually, I don't like the weather, because some people are complaining about the weather. They move to mainland.
Yes.
But I think moving is not a easy for me.
Yes.
Because I already get used to with this place. I also know how to go different places, you know, easy for me. I live, I move another place, I have to learn again.
Mm-hmm.
It will be news for me again, you know, to look for, like, where is GP, where is the hospital, where is the school, you know, everything. I don't want to start again.
What do you think that is the best way to attract more people or immigrants to stay in Tasmania?
To me, I want to say if you have, you know, small children, big family, because if you have many children, me, you have to look after them. If you don't look for work, don't move to mainland. Only most people move to mainland is like to look for work or something. They think Tasmania is, you know, not many work to do,
yes.
Not many job. Because if you, Tasmania, Hobart is a safe place for the children, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you are mother or father who don't have to work, because you have a big family, you still need to look after the children.
Yes.
So better stay in Hobart and Tasmania.
Okay.
Because if you move to another place also, big city, maybe not safe as Hobart.
Yes.
You know? And then you also will suffer a lot because you don't know the language.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
You are listening to
Why I Settled in Tasmania.
The living stories of people from refugee backgrounds who have settled in the Apple Isle.
Here on Hobart FM.
Today, residents are concerned and worried about their futures, as international food donors have said they will stop funding the camp from 2017. This has forced many of the camp residents, unable to fend for themselves off the poor farming land on the surrounding mountains, and to consider moving back to land that is landmined and occupied by the Burmese army.
What do you think that is hard for the new immigrants or refugees when they arrive to Tasmania?
Yeah, everything is, you know, hard for them because
yes.
They don't speak the language. Even I have some English very difficult for me.
In the first time?
Yeah. The daily life, like catching the bus, going to hospital, to the school, and then, you know, in the beginning, you know, when you first travel alone by bus,
yes,
you will be really scared that you will get lost. Most people had experience of, you know, lost.
Yes.
They got the wrong bus, the wrong place, you know.
Yes.
I say most people had those experience. Yeah. But after they know how to get different places, you know, it's make them like, oh, funny, when I first arrived, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, I catch the wrong bus, now I'm, you know.
So you went to the AMET program to study in English there?
Yeah, at that time it's called Polytechnic.
Yes.
Yeah, Polytechnic.
So it was easy for you that time and helped you?
Everything is new for us, you know. But Hobart is a small place, you know. Even some of my community members, they don't have family or friends here.
Yes.
We just help each other, you know. Because like a shopping mall and, you know,
mm-hmm.
supermarket is close by, nearby, everything. Yeah.
Tell me about your sister. She's came how long after you arrived here to Tasmania?
After a year. I arrived in Hobart 2009. She arrived in Hobart 2010.
How is the relationship with your neighbors, with the Australian neighbors here?
Some are good neighbors, some are not, you know. It depends on where you live, you know. But most of my community, they don't have problem much with their neighbor, yeah. But I don't have Australian friends, but I know many Australian people because I work with them, yeah.
Yes.
Like that.
How was the food when you arrived here?
Even I don't like Australia coffee.
Oh.
I feel like very different smell, or, you know, even the smell is different from, you know, we use in Thailand.
Yes.
But now we get used to with the everything.
How did you get the first word here in Tasmania?
In Tasmania, because in Korean people, we don't have many people who can speak English.
Yes.
So my job is like working with the organization like Catholic Care, Center Care.
Yes.
You know, when people first arrive, they look after them.
Yes.
So I get my job from Catholic Care, Center Care, yeah.
So are you working as...
Interpreter as well.
Interpreter?
Yeah.
In Karen?
Yeah, Karen.
So this is your job since you arrived to Hobart?
Yes. But the good thing is, after 4 years live in Tasmania, in Australia, so we apply to become citizen. Now we are Australia citizen.
Yes. Yeah.
But if you are staying in the camp, you are just refugee there. Even you live 20 years or 30 years in the camp, you know, you couldn't apply to become Thai citizen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is different. Now, after we become citizen, we apply the passport and then we can travel anywhere we want.
Have you returned to the refugee camp to visit the family and friends?
Yes,
or no?
2014 and then December.
How was? Tell me about that.
Yeah, it's totally different. When you go back to refugee camp, I thought, or it's good that I've made decision to come to Australia. Nothing has changed. The same refugee camp is refugee camp.
Yes.
There's no future. Don't make decision, come to Australia, I will be just here. And because when I go back to Thailand in refugee camp,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, refugee camp is refugee camp. Nothing has changed, you know. There's no development. So I thought, oh, even my husband said, oh, because I listened to my wife and came with her to Australia, I'm lucky. If I don't listen to her, you know,
okay.
You know, because you can see the changes, you know, everything when you go back where you came from.
Yes.
You can see, oh, how different. I never regret that I came to Australia because,
okay.
Yeah, not too late for my son as well, yeah.
And how he thinks about that? Because he was nine years.
He was nine, yeah.
And he went to the refugee camp too with you?
Yeah. Truly, we miss homeland, you know. Thailand is like our homeland, even we are in the refugee camp about 13 years, you know.
Yes.
But that's the first time I think Australia is home.
Ah, okay.
After being here about 5 years. So even myself, oh, now I nothing to do in the camp. We better go, you know. Then. At that time, yes, I'm thinking about, oh, I want to go home. I feel like Australia is home now. Oh, I have to go home, you know?
The displaced people and refugees are under immense pressure from NGOs, government and authorities, and the international community to return to their land. Donors have written support, rations, education and medical support has been cut or stopped. So far, the Burmese government has done little to help the countries displaced. Displaced people want to go home, but point out that there's a huge problem. Their land is still occupied by the Burma army, the army that burnt them out of their homes. So returning is not a safe option, as the Burma army has planted thousands of landmines around their homes, farms, and surrounding jungle pathways.
Settled in Tasmania.
You are listening to Hobart FM and the life stories of people who are building a new life in Tasmania.
Here on Hobart FM.
Tell me about a garden that is like a jewel temple for relax.
Yeah, because I like bushland, you know. I love bushwalking, you know. But sometimes if I don't have time to go bushwalking, you know, I love gardening, you know.
Do you have the special activities for the Karen community?
Most time is the time all the community members gathering together. We, you know, share the presents and then we cook together, yeah, in someone's house. Maybe sometimes they just, you know, make a Christmas celebration in the church, Baptist church.
Is the Karen community Christian?
Oh, Karen people, some are in Burma, some are Buddhist, some are Christian. Yeah. Not just Karen people, just Christian. Yeah, it depends on what they believe.
So you grew up as Christian or Buddhist?
Yeah, Buddhist.
Buddhist.
Yes.
And when do you change the religion?
Oh, I never change my religion. Not a problem. I mean, sometimes, you know, with my community, when they celebrate Christmas party, it's like a ceremony, you know. Everyone can go and have meal and then, you know, sing a song or whatever.
The Karen people had a different calendar.
They burn me as well because we just follow the full moon and dark moon, you know.
Okay.
When there is full moon, you know, people celebrate something. When there is dark moon, you know, we just follow the calendar.
So what is that according with the Karen calendar this year?
So if you look at my calendar, sometimes our new year will be in December. Sometimes current new year will be in the beginning of January, you know, because we don't follow you look at the English calendar, will be January is the new year, the beginning of new year.
So,
but we just follow our calendar. Sometimes we celebrate our current new year in December, sometimes the beginning of January, because we follow the full moon and dark moon.
So you had three celebrations. You celebrate with your community, religious
Christmas
community,
time,
Christmas
yeah.
time.
New year.
Do you celebrate the Christmas? No,
Karen
the New year.
Yeah, but Christmas time is we just follow English calendar.
Okay.
It will happen
every
25.
Yeah. December.
Yeah.
How do you feel living here now, and how you imagine your future for you, for your family?
Yeah, actually, we just walk, and then about my son's education, and then also. Yeah, it's like a normal, we are settling well, I feel like that.
And do you have any special plan for yourself, for your family here in Australia?
Yeah, we have planned that visiting our family maybe in the future every 1 year or every 2 years because, you know.
In the refugee camp, you mean?
In the refugee camp or in the village or, in Thailand because I also still have sister there, brother as well, yeah.
Thanks, Potum. Next week, join us to listen the life story of Fatima and Mohammed from the Hazara community. Tune in then. Bye.
Why is it all in Tasmania?
Next week, join us to listen to another fascinating story.
From the Karen, Oromo, South Sudanese, Ugandan, Nepalese, Hazara and Rwandan communities.
Here on Hobart FM.